As the wheat harvest kicks into full gear throughout the area, Ellis County Fair preparations are also underway. Stacy Campbell from the Cottonwood Extension District stops by to share all the details on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Well, of course, fair is just right around the quarter, a corner. In July, like about the week of, I think, the 16th through the 20th is the main part of the fair. And so we invite the public to come on out, all kinds of events. You know, it's on the midway. There's bands each evening, the beer garden. They're going to have the mechanical bull out there. James, you ought to come out and give that a whirl.
I love riding a mechanical bull.
Do
it's
you?
One of my favorite things. Truly, truly, I do.
Yeah.
If there's one around, you'll see me on it.
They've got one out there again this year.
Awesome.
So you need to come out and check that out. So anyway, yes, please come out to the fair. And kind of mentioning that, the Market Wheat Show, we always have that for farmers. And right now I know harvest is going on. So if you've got some really good wheat, just put some of it off to the side in a bucket. You can fill a Ziploc bag later, bring it into the office or take it to the elevator, and we'll get that entered into the fair. And there's cash and there's prizes and cash for that. So we encourage farmers to enter the wheat into the Open Class Wheat Show. And then also kind of one of the culminations of the county fair is when the kids at the premium sale sell their animals and the champion bait goods. And that'll be on that Saturday. I believe it is the 23rd of July. And we invite the public to come out to that. There's a supper before at 5 o'clock, and then the sale starts at 6 o'clock. And James, one of the neat things about that is if people just want to add some money onto a kid, I mean, they don't have to buy the animal or the baked good, but if it's the neighbor kid or, you know, somebody that they know and want to support them, they can just add some money on. Simply just go up to the clerk at the sale and say, would like to put $100 onto, you know, John Doe's steer or something like that. So you don't have to necessarily buy an animal. And then even if you do come out and want to really support the kids and bid on an animal, there again, you don't have to buy it. It's a premium sale. So you can literally, you know, be the winning bidder on a pig, and then you do not have to keep the animal. We have one and two options, and then one of the options is you just give a premium price for the animal, and then the animal is the responsibility of the kids. He can take it back home, take it to the butcher or whatever. And then the other thing is most of these kids have gotten butcher dates set up for animals, so if you do want some meat to put in the freezer and you buy one, they probably have a butcher date set up for that animal and can get it to a locker and get it processed the way you want it. So
very cool. That's what I was curious about, because, you know, if I went out there, I wouldn't have any place to put an animal, but some steak, I could find some room for it.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. And the other thing, I mean, if you buy an animal, and a lot of people know this that probably come out and do it, but you don't, you know, you can always half it or quarter it, you know, a quarter of a beef with several other people and stuff like that. So a lot of different ways to slice it and dice it, if you will. So, yeah, come on out and support the kids at the fair, at the sale on July 23rd at 6 o'clock. And just, yeah, we invite the public to come on out to it. A lot of different events. You know, there's a rodeo, and I didn't bring a schedule, but many other things. And there should be brochures and posters around town and stuff. So
yeah, I've seen those around town already. Yep. Are they going to get the wheat in before the fair so everybody can go out and enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because wheat harvest is going on now. You know, we've had plenty of hot, windy days, so that really dries the wheat down. So it's been going, you know, kind of cloudy, humid days like this. You know, they may not get much cut today until the sun comes out and the wind starts blowing, but the wheat harvest is going, and yeah, I'm sure they'll probably, you know, unless it happens to start raining quite a bit, they'll probably be done here in another 10 days, 2 weeks, you know, at the most. And mentioning harvest, just kind of wanted to mention to people here in town that maybe you're going out to the country, just keep in mind the combines, the grain carts just gotten bigger and bigger, and those farmers literally can't see behind them if somebody is behind them, especially when they have to slow down and they've got to turn at an intersection or whatever. So please be very careful. You know, you're driving 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, they're doing 24 miles an hour. You can get up on them really quick and then they can't see you. So just be cautious about that. And I guess also talking about wheat harvest, after the wheat harvest, you know, for farmers, as a lot of them know, it's getting tougher to control some of these tougher to control weeds. So I wouldn't wait too terribly long before you decide to spray your wheat stubble. Once you see some weeds, especially if it's kochia, fireweed, or pigweed, probably get them sprayed when they're small. It's going to be easier to kill them. And then another thing is just with these high input prices, fertilizer. This is the year to definitely be taking soil samples. So in August or September, before you plant your wheat crop, you know, I would advise taking a soil sample to see just how much fertilizer you actually need instead of guessing. You know, and
yeah, dial it in, because you might be spending money you don't need to.
Exactly. And the price of sending off the soil samples and getting them is very inexpensive. It's a great return on your time and investment, you know, of taking those soil samples. You do need to take them properly. We've talked about that, you know, in a field. It's recommended, and there's been research to validate that you need to take about 15 cores, you know, whether it be a 10-acre, 40-acre, 80-acre field. 15 cores, and mix those into a clean bucket, and then put about a pint into a bag, and then take it to the co-op. They can send it off to a soils lab, or you can bring it into us and we can send it to a soils lab as well.
Very cool.
Okay. And then I guess one other thing, we've got time, I've talked about it some, but since we are dry, and if your pond and your pasture has gone dry, this is a good time, if you wanted to clean it out, dig it out some. One little tidbit that a lot of people don't think of is to take that dirt and put it on the back side of the dam. A lot of times you'll see them, they clean the pond out and they just put the dirt 10, 15 feet away from the pond. Well, where's that dirt going to ultimately end back up at? In the pond,
probably,
right?
In the pond, yeah.
Yeah, we get big rains, the cattle even tromp it and kind of, you know, all that stuff. So put it on the backside of the dam if you clean out your ponds. And then if they're leaking, there's a soil texture test that we can send off some soil. Just take some cores around the pond about 6 inches down. Take several cores, about half a dozen. We can send that soil in and see what the texture of the soil is. If it has enough clay in it, around 30% or more, but the pond's been leaking, you can probably prevent it from leaking by just really packing it good with the sheep's foot roller, which we've talked about. So it may just need to be packed well if it's leaking. A lot of people think they need to go put bentonite clay in. That's very expensive. Yes, it can work, but it's really expensive. But before you do that, yeah, get a soil texture test and see just how much clay you have in the soil. You may have enough to where you just need to really pack it well.
Yeah, save yourself some money.
Exactly.